May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, may the fellowship of His Holy Spirit, dear ones, be with you all. Amen. The Missio Dei, a fancy way to say that God is on a mission. The mission of God. And what is the mission of God? You are the mission of God. He desires you. The last 6 weeks, we've found ourselves in the throne room of heaven, sometimes with oddly strange things. 24 human elders sitting on 24 thrones, four living creatures who we really need to have better names for them, because I don't want to meet them in heaven and say, "Hello, living creature number two." God the Father Himself on the throne, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And then a multitude, thousands upon thousands of people gathered from every tribe, of every tongue, of every color, from every nation. That was God's mission. And that is our mission, to gather people. Because if you remember as well from several weeks ago, what does God want? God wants us. Deeply, God desires you. And you can look at each other and say, well, why does God desire me? I'm broken and my life is a mess and nothing is organized and nothing works very well in my life. Ha! Welcome to the broken human race. Our families, our jobs, our emotional, mental state. Oftentimes confused and hurting, oftentimes dripping with sin. And yet God wants you. God loves you. And you become His goal. This is why Satan works so very hard to separate us from our faith. This is why Satan tempts us with everything he can in hopes to take you away from the Lord God who loves you. God has a secret, well, maybe it's not such a secret weapon, the church and His Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven the sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, women from every nation under heaven, and at the sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed. And they said to one another, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own language?" Now, I'm not going to repeat all the languages because Brother Hausenfluck has done a good job at that. I just have to say, when I see you in red, it's not Pentecost, it's New Year's Eve in my mind, Terry. Sorry. Every time I see the man, I go, "Look, one of my best friends is Santa Claus." It's just so cool. Amazed and perplexed. Did you notice the first Lutherans ask the first Lutheran question? What does this mean? It's like they're holding their catechism, reading right out of it. What does this mean? What did it mean for them? What does it mean for us? The 11 disciples a week ago Thursday had gathered with Jesus on the Mount of Olives. And at that point, Jesus looks at them and says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." And then what does Jesus do but leave? He ascends. And the disciples watch him go. I mean, just imagine he's up in the clouds, and there he is. And then we get the same sarcastic angels that we had on Easter morning. And they say, "Why are you looking up into the clouds?" That is, you know, the dumbest question in the entire scriptures. Because that's where Jesus went. They said, "It's okay. He's going to come back the same way. But you guys, wait." Just like I said to our little ones, we're not good at waiting. I don't think the disciples were either, because they find all manner of things to do while they're waiting. But they do wait until Pentecost happens. The oddest of the events in Scripture, and the church is born. And I don't mean to be gross, and I don't mean to be earthy, but as with any live birth, whether it's human or animal, there's lots of things going on in our heads when we observe a live birth. It's awe-inspiring. It's amazing. It's gross. We're filled with fear, and finally, we're filled with joy, and that's exactly what the day of Pentecost looks like. There's a live birth, except not a person. It's the live birth of the church. We don't know where the disciples were. Luke doesn't tell us. Well, Pastor, aren't they in the upper room? It says room, house, okay, whatever. Put yourself wherever you prefer. But first the wind comes, which should have been a sign for them, because the Hebrew word for spirit is also the Hebrew word for wind, same word. We assume the house begins to shake because the wind is blowing inside the house as well as out. And then tongues of fire. Pastor Bard, what does that mean? I have no idea. I remember being a little boy, and we had an ancient technology called flannel graph. That's where the teacher would take a piece of flannel that had been glued to a piece of plywood, and they would put movable characters up there. And I was good until the teacher put fire over all the disciples. That's a time when, as a 5 or 6 year old, you reconsider your Christianity. Is this going to happen to me? It already had. The fire represented what was happening inside. The fire represented what God was doing on the inside. The power of the Holy Spirit came. And then came the gift of tongues. And then came the preaching. And the church was born. And in each one of these things, each one of these very odd and awe-inspiring and frightening things, you and I recognize a live birth. The church is born on Pentecost. Happy birthday! Thank you. We'd sing it, but some of you have 7 verses to Happy Birthday, and we don't have time. The church is born when the Spirit comes upon the church. The Old Testament prophets saw this. But even the Old Testament prophets didn't experience this. For in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came for a small, short time. And it came, the Holy Spirit came upon the Old Testament prophets for a purpose, perhaps generosity or leadership, whether military or civil. The Holy Spirit came upon the leaders, and He was there to do God's work in that time. But as Joel says, now the Holy Spirit will come upon all flesh. He came when you were baptized. Acts 2. What shall we do, Peter, as Peter preaches the Pentecost Day sermon? We didn't realize Jesus was the Messiah. We're overwhelmed with guilt that we crucified Him. Peter, what shall we do? Peter says, continue repenting and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my heart goes out to our brothers and sisters down the street and across the street and across the highway. For in their mind, baptism is nothing other than a symbolic act. And yet Peter connects it with this gift that you have. The Holy Spirit in your mind, coaching you, convicting you, teaching you. Those voices you hear in your head, you're not crazy. Well, at least not most of you. Pastor Bart, I hear voices in my head. All Christians do. Luther said, Simul Justus et Peccator, there's the old man, the broken man, the sinful man. And my goodness, his voice is loud. He encourages us to indulge in sin, to indulge in the wickedness of the world. The quieter voice, the more reasoned voice, is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And my goodness, can't those two voices cause you and I some anxiety? Because in the midst of temptation, when the human voice, the broken human voice, is screaming at us to say what needs said or do what needs done as we justify our actions and our words, the Holy Spirit quietly reminds us of how a Christian walks and how a Christian acts and how a Christian speaks. The Holy Spirit at work in your mind. You are not schizophrenic. You are a Christian who is caught between two worlds, two spirits. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in your mind. And yet for you and I think we find the most comfort as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. His message to our hearts are so powerful. Your sins are forgiven. Oh, but Spirit, Holy Spirit, I don't deserve the forgiveness of sins. Too bad. God forgave you anyway. The Holy Spirit brings us comfort when we're frustrated. He grants us wisdom when we're confused. He heartens us when we are broken. He turns us into little Christ. And you know what? He keeps Jesus' promise. That's always confused me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then Jesus ascends into heaven. Wait a minute, Jesus. Didn't you leave right after you said that? And yet what does he do? He fills us with his very self, his very spirit. We know from the text that Jesus physically, Jesus' body, Jesus' human body is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, but Jesus' spirit, his spirit is in you. How intimate is that to have him inside you? 5 years ago, and just because it pops up in my calendar every so often, I remembered that you and I had a national debate about what to put in ourselves and what not to put in ourselves. You remember the debate. Did you get the shot? Did you not get the shot? Don't answer. I don't care, really. Think about the Holy Spirit in the same way you and I thought about that. He is present in us. Okay, husbands and wives, stop the chattering about the COVID vaccine right now. Focus. Think about the Holy Spirit as we think about things like that. Inside us, So many of you did not get the shot because you were worried about what it would do to you. And yet that's what the Holy Spirit is there for, right? He changes us and makes us different people. He heals our hearts. He gives clarity to our minds. He controls our mouths. How often do you and I think sanctification needs to come to my mouth? How often do you say things that you wish you could reach out and grab and put them back? And what do we see here on Pentecost? You have a bunch of Galileans filled up with God's Holy Spirit, and you see the reversal of Babel. At Babel, at the Tower of Babel, God confused the language because the people were very proud. Look what we have done. Nothing can stop us. God said, you are not in control. I am in control. I am the God of this world. And the Lord confused their languages until Pentecost. And so you have the disciples speaking in tongues. Now, in short, dear ones, there's three different ways God uses tongues in the New Testament. Don't get hung up on one or the other. That's really a sermon for another day. Or in a Lutheran church, that's a sermon for... But what are they doing in the streets? They're speaking languages they did not learn for the purpose of sharing Jesus Christ with the people of the world who have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of 50. 50 days after Passover, or as you and I knew it, Pentecost. What does this mean? Part and parcel of the Holy Spirit's work in your life, in your mouth. The Holy Spirit changes us, not just from profane to pious, not only from critic to gentle encourager, not only from angry to joyful and hatred to compassionate, but the Holy Spirit changes us from being shy and timid to being a bold proclaimer of Jesus Christ. Please hear me. God's mission is people. God's mission matters because judgment is coming. God has made a way for people to be saved, to be forgiven, and that is only accomplished when people hear the gospel. That God loves them. That God loves them so much, He was willing to trade His own Son for them. God loves them so much, He gave up Jesus so He could have you. And because of Pentecost, now you and I become the bearers, the doers of the mission. The people who are out and about speaking in our context, speaking in our tongue, or for you who are bi or trilingual, in your tongues. Because unless they hear, as Paul says, how will they know? I heard a missionary speak, one of our missionaries speak, just a few days ago. He's in the out of the Metroplex, and he's kind of a hippie. He's a big guy, he's my age, long hair, big beard, earring. His mission field is mostly assisted living places, which I thought was kind of funny because he kind of comes off as a hippie, and now most of his ministry is to hippies. Old ones, but the same. But he also has a storefront. The church that sponsors him helps him pay for what is a small storefront, strip center. And they've started a little congregation, a little baby church there. And in working there and being a pastor, just as Pastor Eden and I and Pastor Carly are in working in that storefront, he's gathered a following around word and sacrament. In other words, they praise the Lord and they receive Holy Communion and they share Jesus Christ with one another. And he said they've been going about 2 years and people built apartments across the street from the strip center. Because any space of land in Texas will soon have apartments on every bit of it. I'd ask for an amen, but that's obvious, right? Yeah. And he said, lo and behold, the apartments as they got built, the people who started moving in there were all very Hispanic people. And he said, they started coming to our little storefront church, and they would sing the songs with us, but they most of them couldn't speak enough English to understand the readings or the sermon. And he said, I had a lady who was one of our early adopters, and he said, I have always thought about her as our church mouse. She was a tiny little Hispanic woman who kept to herself, came on Sunday morning, shook my hand, thank you, Pastor, then went back to whatever it was she did every day until she recognized, and he said this happened on Good Friday, she recognized that there were people gathered there who could not hear the message of the cross. And he said, I watched her jump up from where she normally sat, and she went down and she sat with these people who obviously did not understand the sermon that day, and she began chattering away very quietly, and they all leaned in. And this hippie missionary in the Metroplex said, I watched their expressions change. And I watched the gospel hit them as they, for the first time, heard the story on Good Friday of Jesus hanging on the cross for them. It's God's mission. People. God accomplishes his mission through the church born on Pentecost. God accomplishes his mission through you. But Pastor Bart, I don't know what to say and I don't know what to do. Then start praying for them. Start taking them to the Lord. Because honestly, if Pastor Eden and I show up dressed the way we normally dress, they're going to run away from us. The Catholic priests are coming! How will they know unless you share Jesus? This day, dear ones, we pray that the Spirit would fill us. This day, dear ones, we pray that we'd recognize people disconnected from Christ in our circles. This day, dear ones, we begin to lift them up to the Lord. And this day, we beg the Father to fill us with His Spirit that we might, as the missionary's little church mouse woman, that we might be used to accomplish what only we can do. That we too might share Jesus. His grace, His peace, His mercy be with us. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.